What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm back again as your host, Sarah Rudolph here. And joining me today, we have our Assistant Commissioner of Strategic Communications. He's back on the pod. Josh Jonas is with us today. We're going to talk a little bit later, some softball stuff, which is really while you're here. But I mean, it's okay.
I had to find my way down here somehow.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we are in full swing with spring sports.
Good one.
I didn't even try to do that. Thank you. That was truly no pun intended. But we are doing a lot around here with spring sports, but we cannot forget one of our winter sports that finished up here on the conference side. But we still have a basketball team in the postseason. Louisiana Tech has made their way to the Great Eight of the WNIT, and they are showing out.
Yeah, March Madness still alive in Conference USA. The Lady Texters got the opportunity to get a bye in the WNIT, got to host a couple of these early round games. And Paris Bradley has been doing it all in these first two games, averaging 16.5 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists in these two wins for them. Had 24 points in their win against Lindenwood. So really awesome to see Brick Store and the Lady Texters still getting it done.
Yeah.
And getting us a chance. And maybe getting one trophy out of basketball.
I know, so. Right? It's super exciting. I mean, you look at who they're going to be playing. They're playing the winner of Abilene Christian and Illinois State. That game is tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So we will find out this evening who they will be playing in that round of Great Eight. But I learned fun fact before we got on here that I'll give a trivia question for you. Do you know where Illinois State is located?
You know, my guess when we were talking was Peoria, just from my knowledge of Missouri Valley.
Yes.
I used to work at DBU and they were in there for baseball.
No, Dane Lewis, our producer over here, had the answer that Illinois State is in Normal, Illinois. They're not playing the game there. I thought that would be fun. But
are they in Abnormal, Illinois?
I don't. Actually, aren't they at like the Smart Center or the Shirt Center? I don't even know. The shirt. It's the shirt, not smart. That would have been funnier. But we are excited to see who they will be taking on in this Great Eight round. The winner of Abilene Christian and Illinois State will find that out this evening. But yes, good luck to the Lady Texters, who are our last team alive for March Madness in basketball. Good luck to them the rest of the way. But like I mentioned, we've got a lot of different sports going on right now. Another winter sport that just finished out on the conference level, but still has a lot going on right
and
now.
I think the Great Eight is probably a perfect segue.
It is a good segue. It is a good segue. So Conference USA National Collegiate Women's Bowling. We just finished our conference championship this past weekend. I had the pleasure of getting to do a little sports services on the tournament director side for our women's bowling championship. Wichita State, their very first year in Conference USA, came out, did amazing stuff this weekend, found themselves in the contenders bracket after the first round of competition, but worked their way all the way back into the championship game and then had to beat Jacksonville State twice to win the whole thing. Yeah. And they did it. And it was really awesome.
The magic of the Cheez-It box.
Yes.
Right?
There's an NIL deal coming that way. If you have not seen it, our whole championship was on ESPN+. You can watch it on demand. It was really great stuff, but the Cheez-Its brought them the whole way. Wichita State Shockers came out, won the Conference USA championship, but that doesn't mean that we don't have other teams making it to the postseason at all.
This is not a one bid sport.
This is not
here.
A one big bid league here in Conference USA. So the NCAA selection show was yesterday for women's bowling, and I got to sit there on the edge of my seat watching to see who was going to make it. There are only 8 at-large bids in women's bowling, and Conference USA got 7 of them. So we have 8 teams competing in the tournament, which is so awesome. 4 different regional sites. Wichita State obviously got our automatic qualifier bid, but so we've got Wichita State, Jacksonville State, number 1 overall seed in the country. Talk about some awesome stuff there. We've got, let's see, Youngstown State, number 3 overall seed in the country. Arkansas State, I'm going to forget one because there's 8. So let me see if I can like actually do this. SFA, Sam Houston.
We just talked about them.
I know. We literally just talked about them. Louisiana Tech was my one team that I was on the bubble for me, that I wasn't sure if they were going to make it, but they got there. They did their thing. Vanderbilt, I think, was my last one that rounds out the 8. I don't think I forgot anyone.
Yeah,
I think so. So it's pretty exciting to have 80% of our league competing in bowling. Our regionals are taking place next week. 3 out of our 8 teams that made it are actually all in one regional here in Arlington, Texas. So we've got a couple of people from our office that are going to get to go out and watch some women's bowling, though. So that'll be fun.
Conference championship 2.0.
It is. It will be. It really will be. So we're excited about that. The chances of us making it back to the national title match this year are high. So super excited about that. Obviously, I had to give a plug. The women's bowling conference USA title has a special place in my heart. So wanted to give a plug there. 8 out of 10 teams in the league made it to national regionals, and then we had the number 1, 3, and 4 overall seeds in the country.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so pretty exciting stuff there. But when I said earlier that spring sports were in full swing without even realizing it, of course, the two sports on Josh's mind were our baseball and softball programs, which are indeed in full swing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got conference play going on both sides. Softball started a few weekends ago. Baseball coming off their first weekend of conference play. So we're really starting to see, get some separation there in the standings.
Right.
Find out, everyone played all their different non-conference schedules, but now are the games that really matter as we get closer to conference seeding. We'll start with baseball. You got to start right at the top. Number 17, DBU, still ranked in the D1 baseball top 25. They have a really interesting series coming up this next weekend at New Mexico State, which if you know anything about Las Cruces, you can go watch our highlights from last year's softball championship.
Yes.
Where you saw some of the most everyday fly balls leave that park by a good 25 to 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to see some wild scores out of this series. And I think it's really going to test. Obviously, DBU's got the bats. New Mexico State definitely has some bats. So you're going to see some high scoring games.
Some football scores, as you said,
some football
probably.
Scores. Yeah. And Eric Jones, our baseball SID, he played JUCO baseball. If you know anything about the JUCO baseball World Series in Grand Junction, Colorado, they have football scores.
Yeah.
It is thin air in the mountains that you've got guys that end up going to D1 programs out of some of these schools. Those are some wild baseball games. So I think that's what's on deck here. Obviously for DBU, pitching has been kind of one of their weaknesses through the first month or so of the season. So it's really going to test them against this New Mexico State lineup in that environment. Another team that, we definitely have to talk about, Liberty. They did lose their opening series of conference play, but they have been one of our better schools through the first month or so of the season. They have 4 wins against ACC teams.
Yep.
They beat Wake Forest last week. They beat Virginia just the other night. So they've got the wins to back up their resume. And I'm definitely not going to write them off just for being 1-2 through the opening weekend of league play. And they're hosting the Conference USA Baseball Championship.
Yep.
So that's just going to be an added edge for them.
No, I think that their non-conference schedule has to give them some sort of an edge when you're looking at them as a team. I think that they have, and it also is a good on our league to say that they're 1-2 in Conference USA, but they've beat 4 ACC teams.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Conference USA Baseball, we're up there in RPI and all of the things as well, strength of schedule. And so it's not a horrible knock on them to be 1-2 in conference play, having beat 4 ACC teams. Interested to see what they do throughout the rest of the season. They're playing at Jack State, a series this weekend. So we'll see how that comes out. But another team that has been in the news a lot for us anyway was WKU, breaking records in their first 20-win season as a team, right? And then or starting the season with the best record, not first 21 win season as a team. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
We did see some things start to come to a close for the Hilltoppers this weekend as they battled out with Kennesaw State, and Kennesaw State took that series 2-1.
Yeah, it was definitely a statement win for the Owls in their first year in Conference USA. Yeah, like you said, WKU earlier in the week had won their midweek game to reach 20-1, which is the best start by any Conference USA baseball, any program.
Yeah.
Any program. You're talking about the old Rice programs. You're talking about Southern Miss programs.
Yeah,
Louisiana
good
Tech, DBU, you were talking about the cream of the crop of mid-major baseball, and no one has done what they have done. And everyone's going to say what they want to say about who they played or whatever. Winning games in Division I baseball is hard.
Yes.
Winning that many games in a row, they had won
15-game win streak
up until that
point. That's crazy.
And they were beaten teams. It wasn't just, skating by 3-2, 4-3, whatever here and there. No, they were landed on teams, putting up double digit runs, almost every game. So, I'm interested to see, yeah, for WKU, how do they rebound? They get to host Sam Houston, who's gotten off to a tough start for their standards yep. this season. But they're back at home, maybe get a chance to get back in the win column some more this weekend. So, yeah, a lot of awesome baseball to talk about. But you talk about the strength of a league. When we talk about softball.
Woo, woo, softball. Here's your sport right here,
this
Josh.
This is me. Yeah, so it's my specialty. I love baseball too, but yeah, this is obviously the one I'm more in tune with. But Conference USA currently ranks as the eighth best conference in those conference RPI rankings. Four teams in the top 70, led by Liberty. They're at the top at 35 right now. So there are some really talented softball teams all across the league right now. And like I said, we're 3 weeks into league play, so we're really starting to get some separation.
Yeah.
The only thing that hasn't changed since league play, Liberty has not lost. They are 8-0
still
right
winning.
Now. Still winning games. They are off to a 27-6 start overall.
That's incredible.
Ranked in three of the four major polls. Come on, coaches. You got to get them in the NFCA poll. I don't know what the holdup is. they have a chance this week to tie the best start to league play in league history. Again, we're talking about a pretty good amount, 30 plus years of some really, really talented programs
yep.
that have come through our league, and potentially another record that could fall. But FIU, and we'll talk a lot more about FIU later. I got the privilege to talk to acting head coach Mike Myers and outfielder Callie Meredith in an interview. A really incredible story. They're in Miami. Head coach Mike Larrabee had to step down less than a month before the start of the season.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with a rare blood cancer. He is still around the program. He's still at their home games. He's still making his presence known to the team, continuing to help motivate them. Mike Myers, his longtime assistant, they've worked together for a long time. He had no problem stepping right in and leading this team to some awesome numbers so far this year. They're right there in second place, 24-9 overall, 7-2 in league play. The first time since they joined Conference USA that they have won all three of their first Conference USA series.
Wow.
Another team that is just winning a lot of games right now. And then Louisiana Tech, they got off to a relatively slow start overall, but they have had some of the biggest wins for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, they've beaten Auburn, they beat Mississippi State, or I'm sorry, no, Mississippi State.
Middle Tennessee State. Beat Mississippi State.
Yeah, and Jacksonville
and
State.
And Jacksonville State.
But they have Oklahoma State. That
there
was
you
the other
go.
One. I was like, they had two
that
top
was a
five
big one,
wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, two top five wins this season. But they were losing some of these other games that we really felt like they shouldn't have. But when it got to league play, Josh Taylor doing what he always does, winning games. They're 7-2 in league play. They've won 8 in a row going into this weekend series. They are taking on WKU in Bowling Green, a WKU team that is kind of down this year. So a really big test for them to go on the road and potentially win another series. But Liberty, I mean, the story has been they have two of the biggest names, the most talented players. They were the preseason player and pitcher of the year, Rachel Roop and Elena Escobar. And they are what they're doing right now in their current, run of form right here in the last 3 weeks. Rachel Roop became the first player. Again, another conference record.
I was
record.
Surprised by this, by
right?
the way.
Yeah. Rachel Roop was the first player in Conference USA history to win three straight Player of the Week awards. And I mean, you go back to basketball, we were talking about Adrian Woolley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he won 10 Freshman of the Year awards, and it took until his 10th one for him to set a single season record.
Yeah.
You saw a lot more of the consistency in past years in basketball, not with softball. Softball, it is very, very hard. Even you look back to winning back-to-back awards, I didn't even look it up because I thought, well, surely that had been done before.
Yeah.
And it had been like 8 or so years
wow.
since that had been done, that a player won 2 in a row. So becoming the first to win 3 in a row in the last 13 games, she's hitting .513, 20 RBIs, 16 runs, 4 doubles, 8 home runs. And the team is 11-2 in that stretch. So, I mean, she, her
wow.
and then Elena Escobar in the circle have been crucial over this stretch. Elena Escobar in conference play, 5-0 with a .26 ERA, giving up a quarter of a run per 7 innings.
Just a quarter of a run. Goodness gracious.
and she has 30 strikeouts and only six walks in 27 and a third innings. So, I mean, that's just kind of the, you know, the story for them.
Yeah.
But it's been a very balanced offense for the Lady Flames. Last night, and they played Longwood. It was everybody chipping in. Almost everybody got a hit in the lineup. There were a bunch of people that had RBIs. So, a very, very talented Liberty team that, yeah, if they manage to get upset in our conference tournament, I think that they will probably be a lock for as a large team in the NCAA tournament, and they will definitely look to make some damage there. CUSA softball is and we didn't even talk about Desiree Spearman, who was doing everything she did last year. New Mexico State, you know, is towards the top half of the standings there at 5-4 in league play. But she, you know, I mean, continues to do insane things as a two-way star in softball.
Mm-hmm.
She's got 15 home runs this year. She had 18 all of last year. It is March 27th. So we still have a lot of softball to play, and she already has 15 home runs.
She's a sophomore?
She's a sophomore.
That's crazy. Yeah. A true sophomore. That's wild.
And then even in the circle, she's 8-4 this year with a 2.78 ERA, which are very respectable numbers. Even if you were solely a pitcher. She's doing it on both sides. So I'm really excited as we get closer to the conference tournament. There's a lot of really good teams there in the middle of the pack. And then looking, you know, ahead to the schedule, FIU goes on the road to Jack State. Jack State coming off, they lost all three to Liberty last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be our big litmus test for FIU, because if they can look as good as Liberty did against them, then now we know, they are going to challenge Liberty big time.
Yep.
When they play later in the year or when they play in the conference tournament. And then another big one, Sam Houston, New Mexico State. Sam Houston's right ahead of New Mexico State in the standings currently. So that'll be a big one just as we look ahead to, you know, the beauty of baseball and softball with three-game series is whoever wins that series, that settles all our tiebreakers at the end of the year.
Hooray!
You know, there's no splits like in basketball. It's pretty black and white.
Yes.
Like, whoever wins that series, that helps a lot with seeding.
Yeah, we've talked a lot on this podcast about how difficult it is to break a tiebreaker, especially in men's basketball this year. It was tough. In football this year, it looked like it was going to be a little scary, and things ended up working out. But thankfully, baseball and softball, three-game series, make it an odd number. It makes it a lot easier to figure out.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I love hearing all about all the softball stuff that's going on. My brain has been all bowling for the last several weeks, and I am turning the page, going to start watching a lot more softball, a lot more baseball now that we're getting to the back half of conference play for softball and really getting into conference play for baseball. We've got some really exciting stuff going on. Make sure you head to our website, conferenceusa.com, so you can check out the schedule, see when our teams are playing. A lot of our games are on ESPN Plus this year. So we've said it before, if you're a Conference USA fan and you don't have an ESPN Plus subscription yet, you should probably get one.
Yeah, you're missing out.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff. Our schools are doing an awesome job producing games for Plus. And so that's where you can catch a lot of the action. So make sure you check out our website. Go check out the softball sports page and the baseball sports page. But like Josh said, we do have a really special interview coming up. Josh got the chance to catch up with Mike Myers. And who was the player again that you caught up?
Kelly Meredith.
Okay.
Yeah. She's an outfielder and a stolen base extraordinaire. That was one of the big things we talked about with FIU. Their speed on the bases has been insane. And she's one of the best in the nation at swiping bags.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to hear that interview. And if you would like to hear it, you can stay around and listen to it right now.
All right, joined now by FIU acting head coach Mike Myers and outfielder Callie Meredith from there in South Beach. Mike, Callie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
All right, well, let's get to it here, because if you guys are not familiar with what is going on at FIU in this softball program right now, you are missing out on an absolutely incredible story. You go back a few months to January 18th when the athletics department announces that Coach Mike Larrabee will be stepping away from the year because he was diagnosed with a rare blood cancer. And then Mike Myers here stepped in to that acting coach role. role less than a month before the start of the season. So, Mike, let's just start there. What was that experience like when you were having those conversations with Coach that this was going to happen, and what it was like for you to kind of have to assume this role so close to opening day?
Yeah, it was definitely tough. We had a lot of conversations, he and his doctors were still, you know, learning, you know, his body and how his body reacted to the meds, and in every time they would get new blood work, something else would be wrong, but. He went through a point there where his energy was just, it was non-existent. It was not Mike Larrabee. And if you know him at all, he's a fireball. And it got to the point where he just decided that, you know, I'm not doing this team any good. I got to take care of my health, and it's the right thing to do. And fortunately, since then, he has improved greatly. They got his meds dialed in, and his energy level is not exactly where it once was, but it's up there again, and he's feeling a lot better.
Callie, I'll kind of turn this to you from a player perspective. What was that like when you guys received the news? And then how happy were you guys for Mike to be stepping into that role and just to be, you know, leading the team now? I know you guys are familiar with him. He's been with the program for a long time now. But again, like with it being such a sensitive topic and it being so close to the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we knew his diagnosis, and I think we all kind of knew it was coming, like if it came to that point that he had to step down. But when he told us at the end of one practice, it was pretty heartbreaking. I mean, there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of emotions, a lot of, like, what's going to happen now. And obviously, I think everyone saw, like, Coach Myers taking the head position coming. And, I mean, it was nice to have, like, that sense of familiarity, like, they weren't bringing anyone in, like, nothing was really going to change too much. And he's done a really good job, like, stepping into his shoes and just kind of keeping everything the way it has always been, at least since I've been here. So it's been a pretty smooth transition, although it's hard not having Coach Larrabee on the field with us.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know that Coach is there, you know, for some of y'all's home games. What has his presence been like for you, despite the kind of situation change there?
I mean, like, the whole year we've been saying play for B. So I think just having him there, like, cheering us on, and he'll always look at me before I go up to bat and give me a thumbs up, or his presence just reminds us that we're playing for something bigger than ourselves this season, and to never take any moment for granted, because I know he would do anything to be on that field with us.
And obviously that has resulted in some incredible outings on the field. You know, just looking through here, some of the facts that I've seen come across, just from y'all's notes, from our notes, best 30 game start since 2017, first time since you've been in Conference USA that you've won your first three conference series, you're 17-2 in your last 19 games. Just what has been going right for this team, over the last few weeks, and really for the, you know, entirety of the season that has led to this?
A lot of those wins are come from behind wins. This team is made for drama, man, the good kind. The come from behind victories have just been incredible. Some walk-offs, just some late inning comebacks. These guys do not quit. And when we're behind, we're not panicking. They're confident. And as the coaching staff, you know, we're also confident that they can pull this out, and we're never out of any game. Our lineup from top to bottom is always a threat. Somebody's going to get on base, and our pitching staff, they keep letting us stay close and giving our offense a chance to come back.
Yeah, I had to go back and look at it because I remember pulling something earlier in the year when you guys had a few of those comeback victories. You guys are 9-6 when tied or trailing in the sixth inning of ball games. That is absolutely insane. And coach, how do you prepare a team for moments like that to be able to come out with so many wins when you guys are, you know, kind of up against the wall like that?
There's no preparing for that. That's just in the athlete. These guys, you know, we try to bring people in that are winners. They come from winning programs. They're familiar with winning. They know how to win, and they don't panic. I mean, Callie, for example. I mean, she came from a national high school consecutive wins record at her high school. So that's the kind of athlete that you know, we really go after.
Callie, you've been with the program for a few years, and I know that obviously a tournament win at the CUSA tournament would be huge. It's something that hasn't happened for the program since 2017. So just as you guys start to kind of inch closer to the postseason, I know it's still far off from you guys, but how special is this season kind of shaping up to be for the locker room right now?
I mean, we're all just, I think, very close, and the culture that this team has created and that we continue to improve on and is just amazing. And we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. We're going to trust the process and just do what we've been doing because it's working. And I just think that if we stay in the running, that we're going to be a tough team to knock out at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you guys are right there, right? You're second place right now, 7-2 in conference play, right there behind Liberty, who obviously has the biggest target on their backs right now. So I know you guys, again, still have a few weeks before a big matchup there with the Lady Flames. But as you guys prepare for some of these bigger matchups, you're at Jack State this weekend, who is another team that's in the, you know, top 100 RPI right now, earlier in the year. You know, how are you guys preparing and approaching those big matchups?
Well, there's no doubt that Liberty is the team to beat this year. They've kind of separated themselves, but and along with every other Conference USA team, there is no team that can't beat another team in Conference USA on any given day. There are no easy wins. Every battle, you know, Kennesaw State, they've ran into some tough luck, but we had some very competitive games with them. And I know they've had competitive games with other, Conference USA opponents, but you know, they have nothing to show for it right now, but they're able to beat anybody. And come, you know, we got a tough weekend this weekend against Jack State. You know, they're off to a pretty good start, and, they've got a deep pitching staff and, you know, a good hitting lineup. So it's going to be a competitive showdown this weekend.
And obviously I'd be remiss if we didn't talk FIU softball and we didn't talk about Kennedy Bird. Coach, just give us some insight onto what an insane amount of talent she brings to the locker room this year. Obviously a newcomer from the junior college ranks, a great two-way player that, you know, is probably putting her name right there up against Desiree Spearman out at New Mexico State for, you know, her ability to do it at both sides. Talk to me about what she has brought to this program this year.
Yeah, the thing about Rue is, I mean, she's a workhorse, man. She is, you know exactly what you're going to get when you put her out in the circle. She is just a fierce competitor. There's absolutely no give up in her, and she brings it every single game. And like you say, you know, she also carries a big stick. She is a threat to go deep in any at bat that she has. She had a slow start, but you know, the last 3-4 weekends, she's getting dialed in, and she's getting more consistent at the plate.
All right, I gotta know where the nickname Rue comes from.
Yeah, so her uncle, when she was just a little tyke, called her Kenny Rue, and so that it just stuck with her, and they just obviously just stuck with just Rue.
Rue. I like it. All right. Yeah. I know that an MO for FIU softball has been speed on the bases, and there is no one that is more, you know, that epitomizes that more than the girl right there next to you, Callie Meredith. Callie, just talk to me about the aggressiveness that this program has had consistently on the base paths and how that really fuels the offense.
Yeah. I mean, I came from programs that always use like my speed to the team's advantage. And I was really like confident coming in here that they weren't going to limit me in any kind of way. I mean, they let me, you always say, if you think you can make it, go. So I just think our speed and putting pressure on the defense, it just creates chaos. And that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to create problems and take advantage of any mistake we can get.
All right. Yeah. Creating chaos and late inning magic. That has definitely been two things that that accurately describe FIU softball this season. Thank you both again for joining me today to really talk about an incredible story there at FIU and just an incredible start to the year. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
Huge thank you again to head coach Mike Myers and outfielder Callie Meredith for joining Josh for that special interview on the FIU softball program. Again, go check out conferenceusa.com. Toggle on over to the softball page to find the schedule of events that's happening this weekend and around the baseball field as well. We've got a lot of games. Everything is in conference play right now, and everything matters. Every game is a big one. So go ahead and go to the website. Find some fun games to watch this weekend and enjoy some great softball and baseball. I did not do this at the top of the show, so I'm going to take up some of your time to do it right now. I have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. So thank you so much for watching CUSA Insider. If you are watching us live right now, you have found us on YouTube, and we are so grateful that you are joining us on video. But if you are still an audio only kind of person, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. And don't forget to follow us on social media on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod so that you never miss an update on a new episode. Also, you can always send us an email if you have any questions, comments, or concern. You can reach out to us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. Another plug for next weekend, NCAA Bowling Regionals get underway next Friday and Saturday. We've got four regionals this year. Three teams are in the Arlington Regional here in town, but we've got the Pittsburgh Regional, the Rochester Regional, or the Lansing, Michigan Regional that you can tune into. And you can go find them on Bowl TV. If you're interested in watching, you can watch every single match live on Bowl TV. And I'm pretty sure that it's free. So why wouldn't you go watch some Conference USA bowling? All right, everybody, that is all that we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.